This is former Louisiana Governor Buddy Romer, and you're listening to Paying Attention with Tom Duggan on 980 WCAP, where everybody gets it, even in Louisiana.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
By tomorrow, I will rule the world!
You think he's gone? He's not gone! That's the whole point! He's never gone!
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Welcome. You've got mail.
Well, I must have not been paying attention when you were just talking to me. Do you think that you could repeat the question?
You know, voted something for it. Why don't you tell Tom where you would cut that budget now? Since you want to look at it after the fact, where would you
know
cut
what
it
I'm
now?
Talking about? The longevity.
Where would you
cut
it?
I told you the longevity.
Well,
you
did
have,
you make a motion to
yes,
cut?
Yes, I did.
You did not make a motion.
I
to
talked
that's
about
a dishonest
it.
Dishonest statement. You talked about it.
I
but
talked
you
about
didn't
it
make
and talked about
cut.
It.
That you, oh, you do plenty of talking, counselor.
Oh,
I'll agree
yes,
with you.
I do. Absolutely.
You absolutely do a lot of talking,
you know,
but you don't do any motions.
When the
that's
longevity.
That's how you do it. That's a fair question.
When
it's
the long.
It's a fair question. Name the motion to cut.
Don't blow a gasket, Nancy. I told you that I've argued on the floor until my face
where
turned blue.
Where was the motion to cut?
About the longevity.
Did you move to cut any longevity, counselor?
You have lived for the day, and you're not looking
you,
for the future.
Did you
future.
Move to cut any longevity, counselor? Did you,
you know
make
something?
A motion to cut
I
any longevity?
I argued it, argued and argued.
Did she make a that. Motion to cut?
I did argue it. I said I did not make a motion. I told you I argued the point until I was blue in the
did
face.
Did you make
and
a
no,
motion to cut?
You know what the problem is? Is that you didn't listen. I've answered this question 7 times. Shall I put it in writing?
No, just answer it.
I did answer it.
You didn't make a motion to cut.
Hand me a bottle. Something that's hollow, I can climb inside. It's a lifetime movie of the week, starring you and I.
Alrighty. That clip never gets old. I'm going to be in a nursing home and I'm going to be laughing at that clip someday. All your fire is Mr. Baba Buzz. That's it. You're done, Buffy. Punch out and go home.
Tom, I'm going to have somebody create a bumper sticker. That says, counselor, comma, did you make a motion to cut?
And you want to know something?
Did you make a motion to cut?
I bet you anything that you could sell that in the phone for $2 a piece and you wouldn't have any left. I get more comments about that clip than anything. Wait for it. Alrighty, let's get this show on the road. Tom Duggan Pomerano on the Paying Attention Radio program here on WCAP, where everybody gets it. You know who else gets it, Paul?
Who gets it?
Herman Cain gets it.
He gets it?
Herman Cain gets it. Herman Cain is down at CPAC right now in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
The Valley Patriots CPAC correspondent Christine Morabito is in D.C. with Herman Cain and all the other candidates.
Cool.
And we got the hostage shot of Herman Cain. We posted that on Facebook about an hour before the show.
The hostage shot?
Yeah, you know, holding the Valley Patriot.
Ah, gotcha.
You know, when they capture hostages, they always hold a paper up to show that they were alive on that day.
Ah,
so
okay.
When we have people holding up the paper to promo the paper, we call it the hostage shot. I
Neato.
Think we get that.
999.
No, I have no idea what that is, but if he's holding my paper, I'm all for it.
Okay.
That's all I care about. All right, so tons of stuff to get to today. Very, very busy week this week. As Tim pointed out when I walked in this morning, he looked at me and he said, I can tell you've had sleep. And that is true. I had 4 hours sleep last night. So
your eyes don't look half bad.
I am ready to go. I got 4 hours sleep last night. I'm ready for the week. I don't have to sleep now until like Thursday.
I got 5 and I'm dying.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, man, I'd kill for 5.
One.
I care what Tim. You got one. Timmy would be happy with one.
Timmy had one?
Yeah. Well, Tim's like me, except he's like 15 years younger, so he can handle it.
I see.
Phones are already ringing. We're not even talking about it.
980 WCAP.
Hello?
Lowell. 980 WCAP, Lowell, Haverhill, Lawrence, Methuen, Nashua, and Salem, New Hampshire, serving the Merrimack Valley. Now, back to more of Beatles and Before on 980 WCAP. Everybody gets it.
Well, let me tell you of the story of a man named...
A microphone and said...
I don't know, but I love his voice.
Yeah.
I want him to do promos for my show.
Now, if he said, did you make a motion to cut, that would have been much better.
That would have been way better. Yeah, with his voice.
That. With his
voice. Like with a serious radio voice.
Yes.
That would have been great. All right, so let's try and get this show moving.
Is Manzi going to have a show on CAP?
I believe that's in the works.
Okay, if he one day does, that's the name of it.
Yeah. I mean, I know he's doing a lot of call-ins, and because of the 100th edition, I haven't had time to really listen to the station all that much in the last week or two.
And his first guest should be Rami.
Oh, that'd be I would pay to be here when that happened. There's a lot of love between those two, as you could tell from the opening clip.
Yes, well.
All right, tons of stuff to get to. Christine Morabito's calling in at 10:30 from the CPAC. If you don't know what CPAC is, it's the Conservative Political Action Committee. It is something that was pretty much ignored by mainstream Republicans up until about 3 or 4 years ago. And then all of a sudden, CPAC became really important to all of the mainstream Republicans because CPAC has become... kind of like the inner Tea Party movement of the Republican Party.
Tell me something, Tom. I think this needs to be clarified. When the Tea Party began, whenever that was, it was obviously based upon, it had its foundation in fiscal conservatism. Hence the name, the Tea Party.
Well,
taxes.
I think there was two elements. I think it was the fiscal conservatism and the adherence to strict constitutionalism.
All right, I'll buy that. So it related to that.
Yes.
Eventually, it evolved into many people believing that what basically differentiates it from the rest of the conservative movement is social issues, which I find interesting.
Yeah,
many people think the Tea Party is more conservative on social issues.
No, they're not.
Whereas the mainstream Republicans aren't.
No, it's the other way around.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think most of the Tea Party people, or you can't categorize Tea Party people because everyone's well.
980 WCAP, Lowell, Haverhill.
A large number of them are nutty Ron Paul right-wing / left-wing because they're 50-50. They're definitely split personality on the domestic policy versus foreign policy issues. I think a large number of them are social liberals and fiscal conservatives.
Then what would you say differentiates the Tea Party from the mainstream Republican conservative movement?
Well, I think the mainstream Republican conservative movement is more concerned with promoting the party. And if a Republican or the head of the Republican Party has to sell out a conservative value to beat Barack Obama, for example, then they're perfectly happy to do that. Whereas people who are in the Tea Party, they're purists, they're idealists. They don't want to sell out. You couldn't offer a Ron Paul supporter $1 million to just leave the ballot blank. Couldn't do it. They wouldn't take the money.
Then I'm a Tea Party conservative philosophically, but I'm an establishment Republican politically.
Yeah, that's probably correct.
And by the way, I'm not even Republican.
Yeah, but I'm almost exactly where you are.
Okay.
I'm with the exception of maybe one or two small issues, I think we agree on that.
What's that?
I don't know what happened. I'll get this. All right. So, let's take a quick break, Timmy, because I just pushed a button here that I have no idea what I did. And we're going to get back in a couple of seconds. We've got Christine Morabito calling in. We've got Sheila Mullins is going to come in and talk about the State Republican Committee. And we're going to talk about, we had the Chelmsford Republican Lincoln dinner last night, which I spoke at. So did Todd Feinberg from another radio station. We have all kinds of stuff getting to. The 100th edition of the Valley Patriot. March 23rd is the North Andover Republican Spring Fling, which I will be at, and the Valley Patriot Bash is coming up March 1st, Paul. Guess who the MC is for that?
I can't imagine.
All right. Who would be my ideal MC for a Valley Patriot party?
Newt Gingrich?
No.
Give me a hint.
Who's the one person in every single edition of the Valley Patriot?
Oh, Puppy Girl.
That's correct.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
Oh, my gosh.
So Puppy Girl's going to MC the Valley Patriot Bash, which means you need to be there. And I'm not talking to Paul. I'm talking to you guys listening out in the road. 978-454-4980. We'll start the show after this break on Paying Attention, where everybody gets it.
This is Willie Lantigua, and you are listening to the Paying Attention. Listen carefully, sir. Prestando Atención, the radio program with Thomas Dugan, the chief.
Now we have the head of the Trauma Intervention Program in Methuen. Her name is Jan Landry. They were cleaning up a spot over on the east end of Methuen for a healing garden. And Jan, how are you?
Very good. We have about 100 volunteers. The mayor was here first thing. The mayor beat me to the site this morning. So yeah, he was here first thing this morning.
Well, let's be fair. He never picked up a rake, though.
And listen, I had a rake. You just didn't see it.
Yeah, what was it, invisible rake?
Well, actually, Tommy, imaginary. You know what I did after I heard what you said on the air? I went home and I photoshopped in a rake into my hand for those photos.
We're going to have to, in full disclosure, when we put that in the Valley Patriot, we are going to have to put a little thing at the bottom that it was photoshopped.
Yeah, that's okay. As long as people see the rake there, that's all that counts.
You must be out of breath holding that camera all morning, though, huh?
Okay, this is Methuen Councilor Bill Manzi, and you are listening to the Paying Attention radio program. And now back to Sharon Pollard's secret love interest, Tom Dugan.
All right, 978-454-4980, the show off the air is way more interesting than the show on the air, but unfortunately, I have to turn the microphones off when we do that. 978-454-4980, I feel like I can't do a show today, Paul, because I've had sleep. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Well, that makes one of us.
Look, I can't figure out what to do next because I'm not, you know, chaotic and frazzled and harried and... And I actually, like, have had sleep, and I can think and put a coherent thought together, and now I don't know what to do. I'm not used to this.
I'm not used to you putting a coherent thought together either.
That's probably true. So I was very fortunate last night to have been invited by Tom Gilroy and Kelly Curran of the Chelmsford Republican Town Committee to speak at the Lincoln-Reagan dinner last night at the Chelmsford Country Club. Yes, Paul?
Well, what does that name mean, Lincoln Reagan? Where did that come from?
Well, it's Lincoln and Reagan were the two best Republican presidents.
Yes.
And I believe both of their birthdays are this month, right? I know, well, Lincoln is. And
Reagan's,
isn't Reagan's
was last
birthday?
Week, yeah.
All right, so both of their birthdays are this month. So a lot of Republican town committees, Republican state committees across the country have these get-togethers in celebration of Lincoln and Reagan. They try and raise a little bit of money for their organization. They have guest speakers come. And last night, they were nice enough to ask me to come speak about media bias, which is great because last week, you and I, or 2 weeks ago, you and I, basically did a prelude to that entire speech that I gave last night when we talked about media bias here on the show.
See, I'm good for
so something. I already had a foundation for
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You know what you guys should do, though, next time? You should push for putting Reagan on President's Day along with Washington and Lincoln.
Yeah, okay, I'll get right on that, Paul.
Okay, you do that.
All right, very good. So so I spoke about a little bit about media bias. It was a great event. Todd Feinberg spoke after I did, and the first thing I thought when Todd Feinberg got up to speak was, God, I wish I could talk as slow as that guy. Because he seems to be able to talk very slowly and succinctly.
Yes.
In a way that he doesn't lose his train of thought.
Yes.
But he still is able to capture people's attention and get them to want to listen to what he's going to say next. And I got up there and just blasted through my whole thing.
By the way, were you just practicing?
Yeah, that was. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I wasn't doing his voice, but I was trying to talk as slowly
as
he
right.
was.
That's right. That's right.
And I was listening to him speak last night, and he gave a great, I mean, he really did give a great talk about the presidential race and media bias. And I love his entire take on politicians, which is, look, President Obama's a liar. We know he's a liar. The Republicans are liars. We know they're liars.
Democrats?
Republicans and Democrats, both liars.
Both liars, yeah.
They're both lying to us. They're both promoting propaganda. They're both trying to control the media cycle and what the media story is, and we're the idiots that fall for it. And I love that take because even though obviously I side with the Republicans because I'm a Republican, he's right. He's not wrong about that at all. I mean, just let's just look at Mitt Romney saying that Newt Gingrich wants to give amnesty to 11 million illegal aliens. It's just an outright lie, and he knows it. And unfortunately, I've got to now point to my own candidate, Newt, who says that Romney's pro-abortion. It's just an outright lie. And Obama's lying. Obama's lying about the economy. The Republicans are lying about their opponents. They're all lying. And so what you have to do if you're going to be a media consumer is you have to sift through the lies. You have to be educated and informed, and you have to consume numerous different vehicles of media so that you can make, you know, make your own decision. You can make your own informed decision, and you'll probably come to the same conclusion that me and Todd have, which is that they're all liars. And let's just figure out which one of them is going to do the best job.
Well, the entire thing that politics is based upon is psychological manipulation.
Yes.
It's very similar to advertising, the world of advertising. It's just about the same thing. If they can psychologically manipulate things to their own advantage, people's emotions to their own advantage, mm-hmm. Then they can squeeze a vote out of them.
Right.
And money has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with that. And, you know, he pointed out last night, rightfully, I mean, his speech was so much better than mine. In fact, I taped it so I can actually listen to it later on and pick up some pointers. You know, he was saying, look, the best presidents, the best politicians are those that can control the media cycle. The ones that can wrestle away the narrative from the media, create their own narrative, and then cause the media spin and get them to say the talking points that they want, that they think are most important, that's most advantageous to them. And he's totally right.
There are professionals that's all they do.
Yeah.
They just create exactly what you're saying in order to gain advantage over the media and over the minds and psyches of the people.
Right.
Obama's team has probably been working that out in some boardrooms for the last 3 years.
Absolutely. 978-454-4980. So I want to thank Kelly Curran, who...
My question is, though, Tom, before you thank people.
Yes.
I just don't understand why us humans are so shallow that we fall for this in masses.
Well, because we're dumb.
Okay. Thank you.
We're not quite as smart as we think we are. Maybe about 1% of us really are smart. The rest of us are all walking around thinking we're the smartest person in every room we walk into. And so we're not open to new ideas or people challenging our opinions.
You mean we're not?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll have to readjust my thinking then. No, it just
unless you consider yourself part of that 1%.
Well, in this room where there's only two people, I just figured I was.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll take that.
No, but it really amazes me that people cannot see through this. And they go through it every 4 years.
Yep.
And you still get the same results. The more money you throw in, the more psychological manipulation you're able to conjure up, the more you win.
All right.
Crazy. Crazy stuff.
You want to talk about the 100th?
It's the bad part about democracy.
Yeah.
The 100th. Go ahead. What about the 100th? Okay, the 100th. You want me to explain it?
Yeah, why don't you explain it? But you wanted a larger role in the show. You said you wanted to do this kind of stuff. So I sent you a text yesterday to let you know this is what I want you to do. And they go, okay, Paul, let's talk about the 100th. And he goes, okay, go ahead.
Ladies.
What?
Ladies and gentlepersons.
You're unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlepersons, the Valley Patriot newspaper, which is the most popular weekly newspaper this side of the Mississippi. Or is it this side of the equator? Or is it this side of Mars? But it's this side of something. Has just experienced, ladies and gentlemen, its 100th.
Can you do it without mocking me? Is that possible?
I'm enjoying this.
He's auditioning for another radio station that he's probably applied to. Go ahead.
100th anniversary, 100th edition, that is. And next month is going to be the 8th year anniversary.
That's correct.
So we've got two things going on now. This month,
back to back milestones.
Yeah, back to back milestones. This month is the 100th edition, which began in March of 2004.
Yes.
Right when the 2004 elections was beginning to gear up, and I specifically remember that, Tom, because I remember submitting my first article to the Valley Patriot on John Kerry, who called himself the science president. It was all about stem cell research.
Yes.
So that was in the summer of 2004.
What's interesting is I was going back to put this 100th edition together, and I was looking at some of the old papers, and I never consciously realized you've been with us since the first year.
Imagine that?
Yeah.
I am part of the foundation.
Yeah, you're a staple.
I'm a staple.
Yep.
Yes. And, well, I don't know what to say about that other than it's been fun, It continues to be fun. It seems like I have found an outlet that accepts what is considered outrageously politically incorrect today, and all that means is truth.
Yes.
Because in today's day and age, particularly when it comes to moral, social, ethical issues, of course, as you know, as I hope you know, our society has been running from that from about 30 to 40 years. You accept it. You don't edit it. You don't edit things out. And you just allow people to either love you or hate you.
Yeah.
And you believe that it's not a reflection of you or your newspaper. The only reflection it is regarding your newspaper is free speech.
Right. And that's why we started the paper. We got together in 2003 to talk about putting this together.
Yes.
To talk about, you know, whether or not we could make a newspaper, a monthly newspaper, financially viable. And we talked to, God, so many people about investing in the paper, and we were just mocked. We were mocked and laughed at. And I mean, like, belly laugh. People weren't, like, just snickering and then laughing when we left. They were belly laughing at us while we were asking them if they wanted to invest in this newspaper.
Like Santa Claus.
Yeah, and they were, and I can even tell you, like, we approached Carmen Diadamo, who's a lawyer in Lawrence, and we ran into him at the feast, and I said, listen, we got this newspaper, we're starting. I know you're a lawyer, you're a mover and a shaker, you got tons of money. Why don't you kick into this newspaper? Let's get it off the ground. And he's another guy who just belly laughed at us and said, listen, the newspaper industry is dying. Why are you getting into a dying industry? Mm. The daily papers can't make any money. The weekly papers are folding or they're getting gobbled up.
Because of the internet.
He said, the internet's booming. He said, you know, this is a failed project before it starts. And he walked away. Right. He didn't even say thank you for offering. He almost seemed like annoyed that we asked him. And he wasn't the only one. Let me tell you, there were an awful lot of people who were laughing at us when we started this venture. I don't think they're laughing anymore.
All right, let me ask you this question. Newt Gingrich, just last month, called the Valley Patriot newspaper the official Tea Party newspaper of America.
Yes.
What does the Tea Party movement, which really began about, right around the time the newspaper began, how does that relate to the beginning in the identity of the Valley Patriot?
It really had very little to do with the beginning of the Valley Patriot, and I'd love to talk about how we started it in a few minutes, but as far as the identity of the newspaper, you know, we have our own identity. We're unique. It's really hard to categorize us. But what we have found is when the Tea Party started, and we became very Tea Party friendly, because all four members, when we first started, all four owners of the paper were immediately Tea Party members. Like, the minute the Tea Party started, we were on board. It was us. We wanted it. And the growth of the Tea Party, as the Tea Party grew, we gave them growing responsibilities within the newspaper. So we brought in Kristen Varley, who was the president of the Greater Boston Tea Party. You can sit over here, hon. We brought in Kristen Varley to write a column about what was going on in the Tea Party. We started putting pictures in when Sarah Palin came to Boston Common. We started putting in notices when they were having their meetings. We started going to the meetings and covering them. And, you know, Chuck, who is part owner of the paper, is a libertarian.
Yep.
And he's probably a little further to the right than I am, if you can imagine that. Ralph is a conservative. He's another owner of the paper. He's a conservative Republican who on the social issues is way further to the right than me. On fiscal issues is probably even further to the right of me. And then we had the other owner, who's now a silent partner, so we don't mention the name anymore because of, you know, all the shenanigans that went on. And the silent partner was a female Republican lawyer Tea Party person.
Mm.
And so was I. I was a Republican Tea Party person. So we didn't start off when the Tea Party movement came about thinking about this being a Tea Party newspaper.
Right.
It just evolved into that because our editorials are conservative and it appeals to Tea Party people, and they, I think, mostly agree with almost all of them.
Yes.
We started putting in Tea Party stuff. We, of course, supported Scott Brown. We became very personally involved in the Tea Party, and it just kind of reflected throughout, you know, throughout our coverage and throughout the stuff that we do.
But then you took on board several columnists that have nothing to do with Tea Party mentality, nothing
yes.
to do with the conservative movement
right.
at all.
Right.
What would be your reason for that?
Well, because, look, you can go into any Tea Party crowd and find people who favor abortion. You can go into any Tea Party crowd and find people who are gay.
You can go into any Tea Party crowd and find black people. You can find people of all different stripes and all different opinions on most issues. And people black who people. Believe in the Tea Party, people who are believers in liberty and free speech, even the Ron Paul people, all believe that our opinion is correct, that our view on conservatism is right. And so why would we exclude those with different ideas if we believe on the merits of our case we're correct? So if somebody wants to write a pro-Obama, left-leaning, pro-Obamacare article for the Valley Patriot, a column for the Valley Patriot, we believe that our position is correct, so we're going to let them write whatever they want. We're going to let them try to convince our readers and let them decide. Let them read the pro-Obama, the anti-Obama, and let them decide for themselves. Because we believe we're right, and we think that's going to reflect in the facts.
But do you fear that sometimes the we is kind of muddled in the person who picks up the newspaper and reads it? In other words, when they read a column that is completely different than you're thinking, that they believe that this is what the Valley Patriot believes?
No, I don't think so, because I think if you look at the – I think people judge the paper in its totality. And there are times when people write columns that I completely disagree with. Most of them are yours. And and I read them and I go, oh, he's got to be crazy. Why did he write that? I don't want that in my paper, because that's my first thought.
Right.
My second thought is, of course I want that in my paper. Because I don't agree with it, I want it in my paper. In fact, when people send me columns or letters to the editor that I disagree with, I make room for that first when I'm doing my next edition. Because I want the readers to not be indoctrinated by my opinions or Chuck's opinions or Ralph's opinions.
Letters to the editor, that's fully understood. In fact, most people understand that a letter to the editor is not you.
Yes.
But when they read columnists, they're probably thinking this equals the Valley Patriot. And in one sense, it does, because the Valley Patriot is a smorgasbord of ideas.
Right.
But in another sense, people are just so used to the traditional idea that columnists reflect the mentality of the newspaper.
And that's why we're not like any other paper. What we did when we started this paper, Chuck, Ralph, myself, and the other person sat down, and we went through the Eagle Tribune, the Lowell Sun, the Boston Globe, Rumbo, Methuen Life, the Draycott newspaper, the Newburyport newspaper, and we spent a good 3 months going through page for page, looking at what they were doing that we liked, what they were doing that we didn't like, and what they weren't doing that they should have been doing. And at the end of that three-month discussion, in the boardrooms every single day going through it, what we really decided on was just one thing. Let's just not do that.
Okay.
Whatever they're doing, let's just not do that. They're failing. If you pick up the Eagle Tribune and you read their columnists, like you said, those columnists reflect for the most part the opinions of the paper. That's a reflection on the paper. And people have gotten used to that idea, but that's why they're failing. Because they're not opening it up to the Pomeranos of the world who want to talk about abortion and contraception and all this other stuff. If tomorrow you wrote a letter to the Eagle Tribune or the Lowell Sun, hey, I'm going to challenge all my listeners. I want you to try this. I know the editors of the papers are going to hate me for this, but I don't care. I want you to write a letter that is a letter to the editor that is six paragraphs long about whatever topic that you want, whatever thing that you're passionate about. And I want you to send one to the Eagle Tribune, one to the Globe, and one to the Herald. First, let's see if it gets printed at all. If it does get printed, here's my promise to you. Of the six paragraphs you submit, they will print, at best, three. And they will decide what paragraphs come out. And they will decide the tone of that by deciding what paragraphs come out. When you submit something to the Valley Patriot, I don't care if it's 1,500 words. If we have the room, and it's good, it's well-written, you know, it doesn't sound stupid, we'll print it. And I don't care if it's 1,500 words of why the Valley Patriot sucks. We're printing it because we don't believe in censoring. We don't believe in taking people's ideas and changing them or taking stuff out of their ideas. We want to be like the physical version of an electronic bulletin board where people can post their ideas and what they want and let the readers decide.
In one sentence, what is the aim and goal of the Valley Patriot?
To take over the world.
Okay, in two sentences.
And you want to know something? We're really close. We're close. Look, this month we picked up eight new communities. We picked up Gardner and Hubbardston and Townsend and Ashburnham. I'm going to doing this by memory. Let's see. Gardner, Leominster, Fitchburg, Winchendon, Ashburnham, Hubbardston, Townsend, and there's one more that I forgot. And next month, and actually this month we also started in Agawam. Do you guys know where Agawam is?
Yeah, I've been there.
Agawam is like, you can't get any further out of Massachusetts without being out of Massachusetts. It's as far southwest as you. It's southwest of Springfield. But we have a great writer named Cecilia Calabrese. She is a city councilor in Agawam. She's a Facebook friend. And thank God for Facebook. It has just so helped my business. She reached out to us and said, Tom, I love what you do. I'm a Republican. I know I'm kind of far away, but if you ever need any help, let me know. So this month, I sent her Scott Brown's speech. And when I went to his reelection, I got a copy of his speech. I sent it to Cecilia. She took the speech and she wrote a legitimate news story, objective, legitimate news story about the Scott Brown event from Agawam. So I got my guy Dan DeBrule driving papers down to Agawam to give them to Cecilia because she's going to put them in the Agawam City Hall and the post office and where she buys her milk and, you know, the local diner. So if you live in Agawam, you can get the Valley Patriot. If you live in Shirley, Mass., you can get the Valley Patriot. If you're in Manchester, New Hampshire, you can get the Valley Patriot.
Shirley?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I used to go there when I was younger, too.
And we're expanding every single month. Now, we've got a national project we're working on. And I screwed up and I blurted it out on the air a couple of weeks ago and I got myself in big trouble. But we're talking to, biting my tongue, we're talking to some really big national people about taking the Valley Patriot and making it a national, by subscription only, Tea Party newspaper. Stripping out all the local content after we publish, say, this month's paper, strip out all the stuff about Lawrence and all the stuff about Lowell and replace it with, like, letters from Jim DeMint to the Tea Party and a column by the head of the California Tea Party and a column, information about Tea Party events going on across the country, what bills are coming up in Congress that the Tea Party's interested in, what they oppose, what they support, and mailing it out by subscription. We're going to make a lot of money.
Is this going to be in addition to what you're doing now?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And it's going to be called the Valley Patriot. We're not changing the name. All of my ventures that are now spinning off from this newspaper are all going to be called the Valley Patriot because we want synergy. We want everything to work with everything else. Hmm. So we got tons of stuff going on. We're working on a business expo for next year. We got this paper has, it's just morphed. I can't keep up with it. I've actually hired people. I can't afford to hire people, but I'm hiring people because I have no choice. Otherwise, I'm not getting 5 hours sleep in a week. I'm getting no hours sleep in a week.
Now, did you want to talk about the genesis of this whole project?
And then we've got Sheila here. We're going to keep her as long as we can because I know she's here. Let me put on her microphone so she can say hello. Sheila, by the way, Sheila Mullins is with us. She's not only a candidate for Republican State Committee member, State Committee man. I don't say committee woman, sorry. I'm a chauvinist.
That's all right. I'm fine with that.
but she also is now a columnist for the Valley Patriot. She writes Cooking with Sheila. Is that it right? No, Sheila's Recipes. Did I get it wrong?
I think you have it as Cooking with Sheila.
All right, Cooking with Sheila. No, I have Sheila's Recipe Corner.
Okay, Sheila's Recipe Corner. Either way, that's so fine.
Oh, you know, I had to change it because this month we also started with Colleen, with What's Cooking with Colleen. She's doing restaurant reviews.
Cool.
So I had to find a way to make you not look like hers. I don't want people to confuse you. So Sheila's here. She's going to talk about her thing, but I just want to wrap up this Valley Patriot stuff. And since you're part of it, thank you for coming in, and thank you for being part of our 100th edition.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. You got to get really close to that mic. She looks so cute, doesn't she? God, if she wasn't married. Is your husband listening?
I believe he is.
All right. So am I going to get in trouble if I flirt with you on the air?
Nope.
No. All right. Good. Wow. He's a brave man. 978-45. We shouldn't give out the phone number. 978-454-4980. The genesis of the Valley Patriot, and it's really one of my favorite stories because you couldn't make it up. We had, back in 2003, I was working for Rumbo with Dalia Diaz.
You were working for Rumbo?
Yeah.
I didn't know
Dalia
that.
Dalia Diaz brought me on in 1999 when it was a once-a-month newspaper. It was about 24 pages, and it was basically, you know, my garden, student of the month at the Oliver School. Not really a lot of hard-hitting stuff. It was a community newspaper, and it was a nice little paper.
What was the name of it?
And Rumbo.
Hey, thank you.
And it was in English and in Spanish. And she asked me to write
both.
Yeah, okay. She asked me to write a column because I just left the school committee about the inside of what was going on in Lawrence politics
in English.
Yeah, and because nobody really knew the inside like I was, or the ones that didn't want to talk about it, and I did. So I started writing my column, and I called it "Paying Attention," which was the genesis of this show. And I stayed with her.
When did the radio show come on?
Radio show started right around that exact time, like right around 1999. And so to make a long story short, we Dalia and I parted ways about 2 or 3 years later after I'd helped her grow her paper from a monthly paper at 24 pages to a weekly paper at 36 pages. And we parted. And a few weeks after we parted, I got a packet in the mail from one of my moles in the Lawrence School Department because I used to be a school committee member. And I used to get a lot of information from the secretaries and the cafeteria workers and the janitors about what was really going on. Because if you ask an administrator, they lie to you. You ask the superintendent, he's going to lie to you. And you ask anybody who's got a stake in what you're asking about, they're going to lie to you. But the people at the bottom, they don't care. So one of the secretaries sent me a packet, and it had copies of sign-off sheets and receipts of five members of the Lawrence School Committee who were going out with the superintendent after school committee meetings and running up a $1,200 tab for food and liquor, which included duck and steak and scallops and lobster and everything you could possibly imagine. Nachos, appetizers, alcohol, the whole thing. And what was most egregious about this was that the same five members on the school committee who were going out to dinner with the superintendent and using taxpayers' money slated for the school children of Lawrence, they were also the same members of the Lawrence School Committee's finance committee. And so they were the ones that were signing off on their own expenses. They're the ones that were supposed to be watching the superintendent's expenses and being the watchdog to make sure what he was spending the money on was legal. And what they were doing was they were in league with him, going out to dinner. They were having all kinds of food on your dime. And they were covering it up. So I took all of this packet of information, and I called Dahlia Diaz, and I said, look, I'm going to give you one more chance to bring me back to Rumbo. And let's work this out. I've got a dynamite story that's going to make you tons of money. I mean, you're going to sell, once this hits the papers, you're going to get tons of advertisers. People are going to be talking about it. It's a huge story. She basically told me to go screw myself, which is fine. Because what then happens is I turned to the person that I was with at the time and said, we have to start our own paper.
This was Rumbo or the Eagle Tribune?
Rumbo. Okay, let me back up.
Okay.
So Dahlia didn't want the story. Are you right? I left out the Tribune part.
Right.
So I called, and I don't know if I should mention Orion's name because I know he gets mad when I do
okay,
that.
Okay, don't mention
Orion's
name.
I'm not going to mention his name. But I called a friend of mine who worked at the Tribune, and I said, listen, here's what I have. If you want it, don't tell your editors it came from me because they hate me. I don't care. Take all the credit. I've done all the homework for you. I've got all the sign-off sheets. I've got everything. So I gave everything to him. He went to his editors. I called him a week later. Couldn't get him on the phone. Called him 2 weeks later. Finally got him on the phone, and he said, Tom, they're not running the story. What do you mean they're not running the story? They're not running the story because they like Wilfredo LaBoy, and they don't want to write anything that makes him look bad. They love this guy. I said, well, what does that have to do with anything? There's a lot of people in this business that I like, but if they're doing something wrong, it's a news story. This is legitimate news. The Tribune doesn't want a legitimate news story. I got the sign-offs. I got their signatures. I got the receipts. I got everything. The credit card, everything. They don't want it. And that's when I turned to the person that I was with at the time and said, we have to start our own paper. Dahlia didn't want it. The Trib, for her, whatever her reasons were, because she was mad at me, the Tribune didn't want it because they loved Wilfredo LaBoy. And so we sat down and said, we're going to start our own paper, but if we do this, we have to do it right. We have to make sure that there are no sacred cows. So Mike Sullivan and Billy Manzi were friends of mine. They were both elected officials. I used them as an example in our first board meeting. I said, if Mike Sullivan, who's a very good friend, and Bill Manzi, who's a very good friend, does something monumentally stupid, does something wrong, does something illegal, we have to cover it. We have to cover it as if we don't know who they are. We have to look at the situation and say, if this wasn't Billy Manzi, if this wasn't Mike Sullivan, how would we write this story and then write it that way? And I believe we've kept true to that every single edition, with one exception. I think we stayed true to that every single edition for the 100th edition, all the way to the 100th. So I'm going to say 99. I did screw up once, I think.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, no? It was the Griselle thing. And I still almost kind of feel bad about it. Almost.
What about the Griselle thing?
You know, the whole, her picture on the front page with the cleavage.
Oh, you regret that.
Yeah, well, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, it was March of 2010, a Lawrence City Councilor, Griselle Silva, had a very racy, very sexy, very cleavage-filled photo of her only in a bra as her Facebook profile picture. And she was a Lawrence City Councilor. And I called her on the phone as a friend and said, before anybody else makes this a news story, if you take it down now, I won't write about it. But you're a Lawrence City Councilor, and your Facebook picture makes you look like a whore. I mean, no offense, but it does. And she laughed and said, everybody likes it, and she hung up the phone. So we put it on the front page, and it didn't belong on the front page. It belonged somewhere inside the paper to talk about, you know, the bad judgment of an elected official, but it didn't belong on the front page. But other than that one thing that I do regret, because had she been anyone else, we would have covered that differently. Otherwise, and I'm human, if I bleed, if I cut you, do I not, if you cut me, do I not bleed?
Right, Paul?
I don't know what color.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. It could be green. So anyways, to make a long story short,
I think it's black sometimes.
I think we've kept true to our mission from the very beginning. And we decided from the very beginning we were going to have a newspaper that was going to honor veterans and police officers and firefighters in every edition, because that's sorely lacking in other papers. We decided that if someone wanted to write a column, as long as it was well written and it wasn't going to get us sued, we would print it, no matter what the opinion was, whether we agreed with it or disagreed with it, whether they attacked us or they didn't. And I think the business community has responded better than I could have ever possibly imagined. I never could have imagined 8 years ago this week, when we were getting ready to publish the first edition of the Valley Patriot, that 8 years later we would have contracts at Market Basket and Hannaford's and Big Lots and CVS, Sal's Pizza, Latitude Sports Clubs, that we would have a partnership with WCAP, that we would have a over 30 girls softball team called the Valley Patriots, that the Bulldozer, which is a race car that races up in Loudoun, would have the Valley Patriot logo on it, and that's going to start in another couple of months.
When are you going to make t-shirts with that logo on it?
I have t-shirts. Yeah. I have sweatshirts. I've got hats. I never wear them because they get ruined, and I kind of like them. But I'll print up more if people want them.
You got to bring them to the party on March 1st.
Yeah. Well, and let's just talk real quick about the party, and then we're going to let Sheila have the rest of the show if she wants. On March 1st at the North End of VFW, we're going to have the 100th edition / 8-year anniversary Valley Patriot Bash. And Poppy Girl is going to be the MC. Poppy Girl's not only coming, we're going to give her a role. Which means if you want tickets to this event, you better get them soon. Because we haven't printed them up yet. We've already sold 10 tables. So if you want to come, it's March 1st at the VFW in North Andover. We're going to have some great surprises, some great guest speakers. And I'm not even going to tell you who they are, because it's only going to be I don't want people coming just for the guest speaker. If you come, you'll get to meet some very famous people. You'll get to see an exceptional speech by someone that'll blow your socks off. And that's only Puppy Girl. And then we'll have like other people come speak as well. And there'll be food and music and the whole thing.
Did you invite Honey and Dash too?
We were going to invite... Our initial plan was to have Honey and Dash there, and to have
sitting next to her, one on the other side.
Yeah, we were gonna have Puppy do a puppy adoption night. We're gonna have Puppy Girl do a puppy adoption night, and we're gonna have her bring puppies that were looking for a home, so that people could adopt them there. We were gonna make it like a Puppy Girl event, but my friend Tally is allergic to dogs.
I see.
And Tally's almost as hot as Puppy Girl. Sorry, Tally, but nobody's really that hot. And we want Tally to go. Tally needs to be there.
Yes.
Because she's the Zumba girl that's in the Valley Patriot. She's our Zumba girl. And so she has to be there. So we can't have the dogs.
And I guess Dash and Honey will just have to stay home.
We may do another private party separately for that. We may do a Valley Patriot puppy adoption thing.
Mm.
And then next year, for the 9th edition, we're already planning a Valley Patriot Business Expo. We're going to have all of our advertisers come, and it's going to be a business expo for our advertisers. It's going to be something to thank them. No charge for them. We're just going to let them come and showcase their stuff. We're going to promote the living crap out of it. So, yeah, that's how we got to this 100th edition, and I'm really, really proud of it. I spent a lot of time trying to make this edition perfect. It's not perfect, but it's as close as we've ever come. And next month when we do our 8-year anniversary edition, we're going to do a lot more of some of our previous stories. In this edition, we've published two previous stories. One was the first story that we ever printed, which was the Wilfredo LaBoye story. Because once we started this paper, and at that point, it was 6 months later, the Tribune still hadn't written about the fact that the school committee was stealing your money, and the superintendent was stealing your money, and Rumbo still hadn't reported the story, and nobody in the Boston media I'd fed it to had still written the story. So our very first story in the Valley Patriot was fine dining on taxpayers' tab, with copies, physical copies of the receipts, with the superintendent's signature on it and school board members' signatures on it. School committee bills taxpayers for fine dining was the headline in March of 2004.
Is that the paper in front of you?
And we have reprinted that story in this edition of the Valley Patriot, along with the front page of our first edition and the Red Cross Nightmare story that we wrote that we won an award for from the New England Press Association. Next month we'll have four or five more things like that. So we almost made it to the top of the hour, but here we are.
I know.
3 minutes left, Paul.
We got 2 minutes for Sheila.
Great interviewing skills you have.
Or is Sheila going to be our main event?
She's my muse
today. The 11 o'clock hour.
Penny can't be here, so she's got to fill in.
Oh, okay. Okay, so she's to look at then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, like Penny.
But you didn't think I brought her in to talk, did you?
I had no
idea. I mean, I'm going to let her talk, but that's not why I brought her in.
Okay.
All right, 978-454. What do you think about all this, Sheila? Is this like, are you looking around going, why am I here?
No, I'm perfectly fine.
She's okay. She can handle it. She can
handle it. I can handle almost anything.
All right, we're going to be heading toward a break in about 3 minutes. But before we do, why don't we let you introduce yourself to the listeners and talk about, you know, you're running for state committee, Republican state committee member. You're running against Dodd Early. Mm-hmm. I love Dodd Early. As a person, I love Dodd Early. I don't think that's going to help her this year, though. I think she could be in trouble with the state committee race. But tell people who you are. Tell people why you're running, what you can do differently than Dodd Early's doing. And when we come back from the news, we'll continue talking about this stuff.
Well, as you heard, my name is Sheila Mullins. I'm running for Republican State Committee in the 1st Essex District, which is comprised of Newburyport, Salisbury, Amesbury, Merrimack, Haverhill, Methuen, and precincts 1, 2, 3, and 4 in North Andover.
Nice. And we cover all those.
Why am I running? Really simple. Somebody's got to be willing to do the work, and I'm willing to get out there and do the work. I've seen the state committee, not so much the state committee, I've watched the Mass GOP go from 19% down to 11%. This doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. We need to get out there. We need to do our job. We need to recruit people into the Republican Party. We need to recruit candidates. We need to help them run. We need to help them win. And we need to build on our successes versus every single time somebody chooses to run that they have to start at absolutely zero. We do not share information well. We're not linked together fast enough. We're not linked together. We're not doing that.
We're going to run to a break, but we're going to continue this when we come back. I'm sorry. 978-454. Sheila Mullins in the house and Christine Morabito calling in at 1110. Back after this. I'm paying attention. Everybody got to WCAA.